And right now we are talking about Procession in the Warming Light / Procession in the Rising Darkness. So at the end of this month, the Sydney Opera House presents Antidote, which is a festival of ideas, action and change. And the 2019 edition of Antidote explores issues encompassing our contemporary society, so including the construction of national identity, globalism, patriotism, fake news, big data and so much more. But alongside this series of talks, the festival presents Procession in the Warming Light / Procession in the Rising Darkness, which is a public art commission by Sydney-based artist Jason Fu protesting against humanity's impact on the earth, which is, I've just learned, the first commission ever by the Opera House. So here to join us, live art commission, is Jason to tell us a little bit more. Good morning.
Morning.
So this work responds to humanity's role in the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. And it's in doing that, it features gods, demons and spirits. So can you elaborate a little bit more on kind of how you've explored this through these different vehicles?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the inspiration for the work was the student climate strikes around the world. So sort of unprecedented that, I mean, it's happened before, student strikes, but this is, you know, sort of worldwide. And I think through social media and how we connect that, it's been a pretty worldwide movement in, school children going out and going like, we actually need to fix this because we'll sort of inherit this earth. And for me, the other part that I was interested in, I've always been interested in the dragon processions, dragon dances or lion dances. So I think everyone's probably familiar with lion dances at least, which is during the Lunar New Year, they come out and it brings prosperity. So sort of mashing the two up. During those processions, it's the time when the spirit world and the human world are the closest. So my idea for the work was that the spirits have come out and they're protesting. They're like, we can't even fix this, you know, you have to fix this. So, yeah, it's a bit of fun. It's for quite a serious issue. But also, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to change anyone's minds, and I'm not sure that's what my work is for. I feel like there's a lot of people in the Antidote Festival who are, you know, very skilled orators, very knowledgeable, you know, this is their field, and I feel like that's their role. And I guess my thing is sort of like the picture at the start of a very important article, you know.
And so you kind of mentioned just then that there's children involved. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit more about their role in the work?
Yeah, so I am not actually making any of the work, so I sort of pitched this idea of doing 5 weeks of workshops. There's 150 kids involved.
Whoa.
I might have like stepped a bit beyond my own boundaries, but I'm running 5 weeks of workshops for them to create their own sort of costumes, masks, banners, protest banners and stuff. So and they'll be drawing inspiration from the reference images I've given them from Chinese processions, but also a lot of them have their own cultures and religions, and they're drawing their own sort of ideas from that. And the two schools are Newington College, because I was artist in residence at the time, and Erskineville Public School, which is the school that's sort of like tied in with the Opera House at the moment. So they try and have like little partnerships with schools, which they change over, and at the moment it's Erskineville Public, so yeah.
So in the process of running the workshops, did you get to talk to kids and meet them, and kind of, was there a communication there or collaboration?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm in the middle of the workshops right now, so it's along, both schools have their own sort of classes and talks about climate change, and the students are already, you know, on some aspects of climate change more knowledgeable than me, you know. So it's year 9 students, and at Erskineville it's year 3 and 4 students. So they already have their own ideas. And I think for me, an important part of it was not sort of forcing it upon them. It was like, hey, what do you guys think of it? Because maybe some kids don't think it's a problem, or maybe they're not aware of the issue. So you know, it's all voluntary participation as well, which I hope some people do turn up, but otherwise there'll just be no artwork. So I have been chatting with them, but like I said, it's like 150 kids, so I try and have one-on-one time with them, but trying to run pretty big classes as well. So, yeah.
And did most children think that it was, that climate change was a big issue? Was that the general response, or was there some hesitation?
Yeah, so I think before I went into the workshops, I was like, yeah, I don't want to force it upon them. They might have different ideas, but every kid was just like, no, this is a huge issue.
That's so cool.
This is a huge problem we're facing. So was quite hardening. It was like, no one was like, well, actually, I don't really care about it. They were all like, we're going to have to live through this, you know, whereas I feel like even my generation, I could live up to the sort of start of it and like get away with it a bit, you know, but it's kind of depressing, but yeah.
Yeah, but at least, you know, they're willing to take action, which is cool.
Yeah.
So the live art protest takes place at the Sydney Opera House forecourt. Mm-hmm. How has that location, which is obviously incredibly iconic and busy all the time, how has that kind of informed what you're trying to create here?
So for me, it was drawing on a few different things. It's the Opera House architecture even. So one of the procession aspects is the white dragon. I'm calling it the White Opera House Dragon. So probably listeners are mostly familiar with Monkey Magic, which is based on Journey to the West, and the horse that the monk rode was the son of the East Dragon, I think, who controls the climate, and then gets banished into the water for breaking this jade pearl that his father has, and then has to become a horse and ride the monk over to the western regions to get this Buddha sutras. And then when he succeeds, he wraps himself around, I think it's like Buddha's palace, and becomes part of the pillar. So I had this idea that the dragon has unwrapped itself from the opera house, and so the spines of the dragon look like the opera house sails, sort of thing. So that's sort of inspired it. And yeah, I guess even where the opera house is situated is known as, I think it's Tubogale, which is like where the knowledge waters meet, I think is what it is. So it was about, you know, where all the knowledge is meeting, where antidote is happening, where all these kids are, you know, trading knowledge and learning about new things. So yeah.
And so the work is participatory. What kind of role do you think participation kind of plays in a work that is a protest? Like, do you think it'll be, did you make it participatory to get the message across stronger, or yeah?
Yeah, I really wanted them to want to be there. There's also one practical sort of problem is that it's Antidote runs on Father's Day. So I'm not going to force people, you know, they might have their lunches or dinners or whatever. I really wanted, if they wanted to be there, they're going to come. But to still participate in the workshops, no matter what, the Newington kids, it's part of their curriculum. So they've sort of, they've molded a bit of their curriculum around my project, which is really nice. It's participatory because I feel like it's an issue that they have to come to terms with by themselves. So,
100%. And I feel as though I'm pretty familiar with your work. A live art protest seems kind of new for you. Is that something that you kind of would like to further explore in your practice?
Yeah, it's that, but also I think it's the opportunity of the Opera House. I sort of could have pitched something where it was just my own artwork. But it was tied in with Antidote Festival, where they're exploring, you know, the most critical issues of our time, and it felt maybe a little bit selfish. So, I thought to have this platform and to give these kids this platform was something I really wanted to do. I'll see how, I don't know how it's going to go yet. hopefully kids will turn up, hopefully it'll look great, but yeah, a lot of it's out of my hands. They're making their own costumes. I'm trying to direct them in some way, but they're just doing whatever they want. And, you know, the references they've gotten, I don't know where they've gotten them from, the messages, everything. So, yeah, it's pretty inspiring to watch all the kids just doing their own thing. So, yeah.
And also just in future, in terms of the work that you make as well, can we expect more climate inspired things, or is it a one-off?
No, I think I purposely hide a lot of political messages in my work. A few people have said my work is like a political cartoon sometimes. I hide it because for me personally, I don't want my art to perform that role. I think there's better ways to fix this, you know, climate problem politically, socially, you know, mentally. So my work is more, like I said, it's the illustration at the start of this article.
A pretense,
you know?
Kind
of. Yeah, it's something that makes the picture clearer. But, I mean, if someone's mind isn't going to be changed with all the facts we have out there right now, then, you know, my silly little artwork's not going to change their mind, you know. So, but, yeah, hopefully, maybe it will change someone's mind.
Yeah, don't sell yourself so short. Okay, well, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. No.